Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Steve Palazzolo, he writes for Pro Football Focus. Steve, thanks for giving us a couple minutes, man.
I'm here now. Thanks for
You're here now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve. I knew you were there somewhere. I'm like, we got to find you. I know you're here somewhere. Steve, I went to your Twitter before we get into the Brown stuff, and your comp for Kyle Pitts made me laugh. I need an actual Kyle. Like, I don't know what to do with this guy because I got people like Uncle Colin telling me that Kyle Pitts is easily a top five tight end and would be the best tight end entering the league, not named Travis Kelce in year one. We got comps to Kellen Winslow the second. We have comps to basically everyone under the sun. Your comp is Dennis Rodman, which I think is awesome. But is Kyle Pitts, like, is he, I mean, I watched Florida. I think he's awesome. Is he really, is he all sizzle, no steak, or does he have some sizzle attached here?
Yeah, he's legit, man. He can do it all as a receiver, you know. And I don't know how much you want to expect him to run block against NFL defensive ends, but that's going to be on his new team, you know, to put him in the best position to succeed. Comps are going to be really tough for him. I think the Darren Waller one is the most common. Waller was also a former wide receiver, but he's in Pitts is young, so we could fill out a little bit. That body type is just so unique, though. I think Ricky Seals-Jones has a similar body type, formerly of the Cardinals. Another former receiver, just really long, kind of skinny for a tight end. But I said Dennis Rodman because Pitts just goes up and gets the ball. He just catches everything. So, again, I think it's going to come down to usage pattern. You can line up in line and all that stuff, but you don't always want him making the same blocks you're going to ask of a Rob Gronkowski or more of your traditional in-line tight end. So put him in position to succeed, line him up all over the field, and let him go win in the pass game.
Travis Kelce was at second in yards last year. How has the value of a tight end changed over the previous 5 years after guys like Kelce, guys like Kittle, where all of a sudden you turn around and I don't know, maybe the position's just a little top heavy, but what we're trying to do here in Cleveland, we have three tight ends, Bryant and Njoku, Hooper, who we paid a bunch of money to, and Kevin Stefanski seems to like him just as much as receivers.
Yeah, I mean, I think Stefanski's done a good job with it. I thought the Eagles did a good job for a couple of years. Tight ends, they're just mismatch creators, and that's what happens, offensively. A wide receiver obviously is great, but when you have a good wide receiver, you put your best corner on him, or you put your second best corner on him. Tight ends always put the defense in a bind, right? Especially if they can run block, especially if you can move them all over the formation, because one snap, you have a linebacker on him. Sometimes it's a corner. Sometimes it's a safety. And then good offenses will know, okay, hey, we've got the corner over there. We can work the big game, you know, jump balls. Oh, we have a linebacker on him. Let's take advantage of the tight end speed. So I think that's the value of the tight end, is when it's mismatch creation. And then good play-action offenses are always going to attack the middle of the field with a tight end. So I think a lot of it's, you know, some of it's scheme-driven, but some of it's when you can go ahead and dictate the action, put the defense in a bind. Tight ends have that ability to do it because they affect the pass game and the run game.
So if you're Andrew Berry, and now we're going through the second offseason in a row where David Njoku has basically said, get me out of here, I don't want to be on this team anymore. I mean, I understand why the Browns are kind of holding him and not making sure that they just, if they do get rid of him, it's just, you know, they actually get something in return and they have value with him. But if you're Andrew Berry, do you move forward with David Njoku, or do you go ahead and say, all right, we've had a day?
Yeah, I mean, I think ideally you'd rather have him as a part of your offense. I would also say that this offense, even though they paid a ton of money for Austin Hooper, I don't think this offense really needs to pay a lot for a tight end. I think this offense schemes up the tight end rather than the tight end creating the mismatches for the offense, if that makes sense, right? With Travis Kelce, he's not necessarily getting schemed up. He is dictating the action. Like, you're moving him around and then taking advantage of those matchups. I would say Austin Hooper and, you know, Harrison Bryant, when he gets opportunities, they're more going to be a product of the scheme here, I think, in Cleveland. So I think it's okay to move on from Njoku, even though he, you know, brings some athleticism to the table and, you know, just look for that next guy, right? Because I do think it's a position that, you know, the offense does rely on and should, you know, continue to grow depth at, especially if Njoku has to move on.
How does someone like Pro Football Focus, how do you guys look at someone like Rashard Higgins, who, you know, if you add up his total yards in his entire career, it's 80 short than what Stephon Diggs did this last year. But if you ask a Browns fan who has seen every single snap, you're like, well, this guy's a catalyst. Like, him and Baker have this connection together. They're two peas in a pod. They just work for some reason. How do you value that in moving forward with talking about a new contract for Rashard Higgins?
Yeah, it's a tough one because we've always liked him and always thought he should be getting more opportunities. You know, a couple of years ago, when Antonio Callaway was getting those opportunities, and, you know, Callaway was a guy who has speed and, you know, has that big play ability. And Higgins, even though he looked fast in college, was never really a great athlete from a testing standpoint, but he just gets open. He's just a good receiver who gets open, and there's absolutely value in that. I think he's a really good number three, and that's not a knock on him. It's just I like to have multiple receivers. He was the number three in Cleveland. And then he stepped in and, you know, could do number two type of thing. So I think that's great. You know, he's a good player who gets open. And that's the biggest thing for receivers. It's a great complementary piece. And, you know, Cleveland, you just have to figure out what that value is. Is another team going to come in and try to give Higgins, you know, Corey Davis type of money as a wide receiver two? Or if he's wide receiver three for other teams, yeah, that's a good piece to bring back, especially with Donovan Peoples-Jones there too. Now you've got a nice, well-rounded group of receivers.
I'm glad you brought up, like, Corey Davis as a two, though, because I don't think Browns fans have really prepped themselves for what type of market Rashard Higgins will have. I mean, you can't possibly go through paying him. You know, SpotRack had it $6 million a year for 4 years, $24 million, and at that point you'd be paying a backup quarterback in Case Keenum $7 million a year and a third-string wide receiver $6 million on top of having top five money to the tight end, a bunch of money loaded up to the top two receivers and $30 million a year total. You're paying your offensive line more money than we can speak of, and it's just like it all adds up so fast.
It does, and that's probably where the decision is, okay, who's the next wide receiver three to bring in here? And Peoples-Jones did a nice job last year and could probably do some of that stuff. I'm all about, I've heard people, I already mentioned Dennis Rodman, but I've heard people describe building your receiving core like a basketball team, right? Like, you want to have a point guard, you want to have a big guy, you want to have, you know, from a receiving standpoint, you want to have speed, you want to have just good route runners, you want to have contested catch guys. And you know, Higgins, I think, is that route running complement. In theory, it's Odell Beckham is the all-around option, Jarvis Landry is your possession guy, Peoples-Jones is your speed guy. So now I think you're in the market for, like, who's that next route runner or a guy that can win from the slot or a guy who can just win one-on-one against man coverage. So you're probably off to that next guy because there should be a market for Higgins, I would think.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, joining us here on 92.3 The Fan. Steve, I was talking with my brother-in-law, and he was like, I'm going to go get a Browns jersey, and he's talking about what jerseys he wants, and he's like, I like Nick Chubb the best. And I'm like, well, I did like a Lee Corso, like a not so fast, my friend. Like, be careful, because they might not give him a deal, right? And this was a couple months ago. But now we're starting to see more and more where, you know, Kamara's contract hasn't busted up, Zeke's contract hasn't busted up. Like, you're starting to see more of the second contracts for running backs that previously you wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole, but now they're like, oh, these aren't as miserable as maybe we once thought they were. Where does the Pro Football Focus community, where do you stand on running back and second contracts right now?
We're still anti-running back in general. I mean, the Zeke thing hasn't blown up in their face from, like, I mean, it has a little bit because they're still trying to figure out how to sign Dak and their entire secondary is open. Kamara is awesome. You know, he's a great player. But we're going to see how hamstrung, you know, the Saints are going to be trying to keep that roster.
I used
together.
Henry as another one too, the Henry contract.
Yeah, and look, Henry, he might be the one anomaly just because he's such a workhorse back, and you can kind of get your money's worth out of him. The offense does flow through the running game to a point, and the Browns have elements of that. Look, I love Nick Chubb. I think he's fantastic, but I think the Browns, this is going to be a big test, right? A team that that does like to trust the numbers and history, and there's probably some sort of hybrid in there where you could pay a guy, but it's not going to be, it won't be Zeke type of money. I'll say that. It's not going to be like, hey, let's make you the highest paid running back in history. I think they'll try to find some sort of balance and keep Chubb there, but the history just shows that the running back is more the product of your run blocking, of your scheme, and you know, pass heavy offenses open things up for the running back, not so much the other way around for the most part. So I think those are the things that are generally working against running backs, second contracts, and running back value in general.
So percentage chance, you'd put it, that the Browns sign Chubb to a second contract is what?
I think they like him, and I think that there's the locker room aspect and all that stuff. I'll say 50-50.
50-50.
Whereas I think historically, in the past, you would probably say, well, it's 80% chance. They always sign running backs, and then there's been that lull where it's like, never do it. And you would have lowered that. But back in the day, it would have been like, yeah, 80-90%, you're keeping them. But I'll say 50-50.
I think a lot of Browns fans probably tuned you out after you said Derrick Henry is an anomaly. And they're like, oh, well, Nick Chubb's also an anomaly. So here we go with this conversation.
Well, that is literally the problem with the running back stuff. If you always think your running back is the anomaly, they thought Todd Gurley was, they thought Zeke was, you know, then Christian McCaffrey was supposed to be, but he got hurt this year, right? I mean, it's just such a risky proposition.
What I love about Pro Football Focus, not only, by the way, Pro Football Reference is also great, but I use Pro Football Focus a lot more for when I want to just like cherry pick and do some like numbers with weeks involved. I think that is one of the best things about your site, is it's just so easy to navigate and going like, how was Baker week 7 and on throughout the season? And Baker, for instance, was phenomenal when you dissect some of those weeks and you just look at the second half of the season and moving forward. I know you guys have always been pro Baker. If you're Baker at the table with Andrew Berry, would you sign a $35 million a year contract now, or would you bet on yourself and then hope that after Lamar signs, after Josh Allen signs, and after a top 10, top 5 season next year, you then make it around $40 million and back up the Brinks truck?
Man, that's a tough one. I think if I was playing the odds, I think you can bet on yourself and get 40. And it's because of the reason you just said, right? I mean, there's always a few more contracts that need to get worked out, and they're not going to get smaller. Right, they're always going to get a little bit bigger, especially at that high end. Even if people aren't getting Mahomes money or Watson money, getting a few more guys over $40 million probably does open things up for Baker Mayfield. Of course, I would love to sign for $35 million a year too. So there's that security aspect of it. I also wonder how gun shy teams are going to be just coming off the Jared Goff, Carson Wentz stuff. You know, they paid them, for being pretty good. You know, they paid him for being pretty good, and that ended up, you know, burning both teams. So I don't know if we've hit this tipping point where NFL teams are going to be more cautious, but I think over time things have showed quarterbacks are going to get paid. It's going to continue to go up, and if you've shown that you're a viable starter that teams can trust, you're going to be the one getting paid, and I think Baker has definitely put himself in that position.
Steve, I got to let you know before you go, you absolutely crumbled and destroyed my Marshawn Lattimore take without even knowing about it. So I was talking with Adam, and I throw Pro Football Focus up in his face often, and I'm like, well, PFF says Marshawn Lattimore from year one has only gotten worse and worse and worse. And he's like, well, we had Palazzolo on, and he seemed to think that Marshawn Lattimore would be a good fit. And I was like, well, what do I say to the guy that is PFF next to Sam Munson? Like, what do I say to that guy when I believe that your metrics tell me one thing, but you're saying another? What's going on here?
It's a fair question. You have to go to like usage pattern and stuff like that, right? So there's very few corners in the league that will shadow top receivers over and over and over again. Marshawn Lattimore does that. He's got to play Mike Evans, and he matches up with Mike Evans every year. He matches up with Julio Jones. You know, Julio has crushed him at times throughout the years, but Julio crushes everybody. So that, you know, we grade based off of what you do. But you have to kind of make like a little mental adjustment or statistical adjustment based off who you face. And Lattimore always has a challenge in front of him. He's also just awesome in man coverage. So it depends on how you're going to sign him, right? So if he's a man coverage corner, I think he's fantastic against bigger receivers. So it's about how you use him, not necessarily just looking at the PFF grade, which hasn't been too kind to Lattimore over the last couple of years, admittedly.
Not too kind. It has destroyed him. Like, if I was him, I'd pull up the PFF grade and just cry. I mean, forget the game tape of Alan Lazard making him look like my 91-year-old grandma out there. I would just pull up PFF year by year and be like, man, I suck now. He's not even top 80.
Yeah, look, cornerback stuff tends to fluctuate a little bit. Look, he's gotten worse. I'm not trying to make excuses for him. Things have not gone the way they looked like they were going to go after 2017. But I think the key to evaluating corners is using as much of the data set as possible. And the four-year data set for Lattimore is far more good than bad, even if it looks like it's trending in the wrong direction.
All right. Well, thank you for the insight. That was good. That's what I needed to hear. I needed to hear some sort of slander towards his way, but also giving me some sort of explanation for why my eyes maybe aren't deceiving me. Steve Palazzo. What's that? Yeah, of course.
There's nuance, yeah.
With everything and with my conversation, sometimes I'll let it in, sometimes I won't. With this one, we'll let nuance enter the conversation, enter the chat. Steve, thanks so much, man. Appreciate you as always, and we'll talk with you later, man.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.